on this beautiful, lovely, gorgeous day in Toronto. It's hard to think about hockey, but think about hockey we must. Mm-hmm. It's the THN's Prospect Podcast. My name is Ken Campbell, senior writer at the Hockey News, and I'm joined, as always, by our Yoda of youngins,
yes,
our prospect expert,
nice,
Ryan Kennedy. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Talk prospects, we will.
Superman does good. You're doing well.
There. No, I'm Yoda, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. True. Yeah. Okay. So let's get right into it. First thing I want to talk about, Ryan, is I want to go a little off script.
Sure.
Here, Lehigh Valley Phantoms in the Calder Cup semifinal in the American League.
Yep.
Two players whose junior seasons were probably halted a little earlier than they hoped,
mm-hmm,
or thought. Morgan Frost of the Sioux Greyhounds and Carter Hart of the Everett Silvertips, both very highly regarded prospects for the Philadelphia Flyers,
yep,
both getting called up for the final because their teams are out. Or, sorry, the conference final.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually talking to Scott Gordon, who's the coach of Lehigh Valley, last night, and he was saying, you know, I mean, if you've been following the American League playoffs, Alex Lyon for Lehigh Valley has like a .959 save percentage.
Right.
So I doubt if we're going to see Carter Hart in,
yeah,
the playoffs unless something crazy happens.
Yeah.
But Morgan Frost, he said there's a chance we could see him. I mean, they need, you know, I mean, he's a guy who can create offense and, you know, you run low on centers and, you know, there's a good chance we might be able to see him. But, you know, I guess an opportunity for a couple of guys to kind of kickstart their pro careers.
Yeah, and this is such valuable experience. We've seen it, you know, time and again when kids' junior seasons end. And even if they're black aces, that's, mm-hmm, fine. You know, I think about the Tampa Bay Lightning and their affiliation with the Syracuse Crunch. It's been very good over the years, and even Norfolk before that, where you bring kids in, they get a couple of games, or,
yeah,
they're there for the run, and then they're just a little more comfortable,
exactly,
heading into the next season.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Morgan Frost wouldn't be old enough to go.
He can't even play in Lehigh Valley next year.
Yeah, he'd have to go back to the Sioux.
Yeah, he's going to have to play in Philadelphia or the Sioux, yeah.
Yeah, but I got this feeling that if he has a good summer, that he could crack the Flyers next year.
Yeah.
You know, like, you look,
yeah,
at his ascent and how far he's already come. He was just so good for the Sioux this year. I just get the feeling that, you know, he at the least, maybe he's a 9-game guy.
Right.
Then he goes back and then, you know, does wonders for Team Canada, the World Juniors. But I just have a feeling that Morgan Frost is in a really good place right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a hugely skilled guy. And I think that's where it becomes intriguing in these playoffs is that, you know, I mean, Lehigh Valley has obviously made it this far, but I was looking, I think their top scorer has like 8 points in 9 games or something. So, like, it's not like they're blowing the doors off of people offensively.
Right.
You never know. You get a guy in there that's got some creativity and,
yeah,
you know, they're going against the Marlies team in the conference final that is very offensively explosive.
Yes.
You know, you might want to counteract that with a guy who can make things happen with the puck. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's get on to even more championship talk here. I believe tonight is the opening ceremonies of the Memorial Cup in Regina. Mm-hmm. Funny sort of the way things turn out, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this time last week, I don't think we would have thought that Regina, the host, would be joined by Hamilton, Speedy Creek, and Acadie Bathurst, Speedy Creek being Swift Current.
Very good.
But, I mean, those guys were all underdogs in the final, in all of the final series,
okay,
and all three of them came out, and now I think it kind of adds a bit of intrigue to all of this, doesn't it? Like, you know, it's really anybody's tournament, I would think.
I would think so. And
except for Regina, maybe.
Yeah,
unless,
yeah,
of course, they use that month that they had off to really,
yeah,
get a lot better.
Only a month? Yeah, and it's kind of fun because it's a lot of small market teams. I mean, Hamilton is a pretty major city.
Right.
But besides that, like, Swift Current is like one of the, I think it's the smallest market, if not one of, in all of Major,
yeah,
Junior. Acadie Bathurst probably there as well. So kind of a fun thing where you get those teams and you get a nice mix there. I think it is pretty wide open, and we're going to go through all four teams right now. I think it is pretty good in that regard, but I do worry about Regina's goaltending.
Okay, but it's kind of cool, you know, Ryan. Like, for once, we don't have, like, you know, the London, Halifax, Quebec Ramparts kind of deal going on, right? Like, where you get all these big markets who can attract the big players who can, you know, maybe or maybe not offer incentives that other teams can. But they don't talk about that in junior hockey.
Never.
But I think it's great that a place like Swift Current and, you know, and Acadie Bathurst can, you know, really have a chance to build up a program and attract some good players, develop them internally, and get them to the point where, you know, they can be competitive on the stage. I think it offers a lot of hope for, you know, teams that have to go up against these, you know, huge market teams that have all kinds of money and all kinds of resources.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's the fun thing about Major Junior. And I know, you know, we talk a lot about the class action lawsuit going on right now against Major Junior. And what would it mean if all the teams had to pay players minimum wage? And I mean, something would have to be figured out. For me, it's always been revenue sharing, which I'm sure the teams that make the money right now, I'm sure they wouldn't be as hot on that. But if you don't, then you don't get the Swift Currents and Acadie Bathurst.
Exactly. That's the downside of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the NHL gives the CHL $11 million a year right there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they make. You know, they always make tons of money off the World Juniors. They, you know, I think there's a way to do it, but that's not why we're here. We're not talking about that. We're talking about
back to the
Memorial Cup. And so let's start with the Hamilton Bulldogs, a pretty interesting team, you know, with some of the guys that they have. They obviously picked up, you know, a few guys at the trade deadline and really built a team that I think snuck up on a lot of people.
I would say so. And, you know, they're not the sexiest team in the world, but, you know, having seen them live and against Sault Ste. Marie, this Hamilton squad is just real, like, they live up to their name of being Bulldogs,
right,
you know, like,
right.
They're just a hard team to play against. They're smart, they're well coached. You know, Robert Thomas, the Blues first rounder, came over from London. He's been fantastic for them. But they have a lot of older guys, older prospects that are just, they're just real pros. Like, when I look at Riley Stillman on defense, you just see how well he plays the game. It's not necessarily flashy, but he just checks all the boxes. Nicholas Camano, the Dallas Stars pick, I thought he's had a tremendous playoffs as well. Contributed some nice offense. But again, just like, you know, he makes sure that he's in the right place at the right time. Mackenzie Entwistle, the Arizona pick, just a big body. He's a bit younger than those other guys, but, well, not Robert Thomas. But, you know, Entwistle just really hard to play against because he's such a big body, and you can kind of go down the line, and Hamilton under Coach John Gruden, just, they were so solid, and watching them against the Sioux, you know, the Greyhounds had a ton of talent. I thought sometimes they got a little too cute.
I think Hamilton was
exactly the type of team was like, we're not falling for that. We're going to be on the right side of the puck.
Yeah.
We're going to counterattack when it's prudent. And in Caden Fulcher in net, I thought they had a netminder that can get them where they needed to be. I think Fulcher had some good games and some bad games. He's a free agent that was signed by the Detroit Red Wings this season. But I think he gives them a chance to win every night, and that's really all you can ask.
I think you bring up a good point about that Hamilton thing. I was talking to a scout about the Sioux and sort of wondering why they were struggling so much in the playoffs, you know, going seven against Owen Sound, going seven against Kitchener, going seven against, or losing to Hamilton. And he said, you know, like, they've got some wonderful skill, obviously, but, you know, in the playoffs, sometimes it takes a little more than just that cute stuff that you talked about. You got to have some guys who are willing to, you know, really dig in and grind and sort of win an ugly way. And that might have been the Sioux's downfall. That might have been what they were missing, as wonderfully skilled as they were.
Yeah.
You know, interesting, you know, Robert Thomas for Hamilton. You know, you look at, if you're a St. Louis Blues fan, you got to be happy with the way things went down in the OHL this year.
Yes.
You know, Jordan Kyrou is he going to be the MVP? Is he the MVP?
It was announced he was.
Yeah, he was the MVP of the regular season, and I believe Thomas was the MVP of the playoffs.
He was, yeah.
So if you're a St. Louis Blues fan, you got to be you got to be jumping over that.
Totally. And again, you know, when I look at Robert Thomas, I see a player who is still going to be eligible for junior, but I really feel like he's going to get a shot at St. Louis just because he plays such a complete game already, yeah, and he can fit up and down your lineup to begin with.
Right, exactly. Okay, so let's move on. We've got the Speedy Creek Broncos, the Swift Current Broncos. You know, another team, speaking of talent, you know, they've got some ridiculous amounts of talent on that team, don't they?
They certainly do. And it's funny, speaking of the St. Louis Blues, they kind of let one guy get away in Glenn Godden. They drafted him originally. He was not signed. Calgary signed him as a free agent, and he's part of that great top-end skill that they have with Alexi Heponiemi, the Florida Panthers pick.
Yeah.
He's the playmaker, and then Tyler Steenbergen, the Arizona pick. He's the sniper.
Canada's
hero in overtime in the World Juniors. So they've got just elite scoring touch up front. And I mean, if you can shut those guys down, it certainly helps. But, you know, they've got some other players. And again, they've got some guys with some size and some experience. Beck Malenstein's got some great size. He's a Washington Capitals draft pick. He's had a pretty nice playoff. But the key for me is Stuart Skinner in net.
Okay.
Now, he's an Edmonton Oilers pick. Great size, great foundation to his game, you know, good fundamentals. They got him in a trade from Lethbridge. But, I mean, we can essentially say he's the guy that outdueled Carter Hart in the playoffs.
Right, and that's, you know, I mean, Carter Hart was the best player, and arguably the best player in junior hockey this year.
Yeah, so Stuart Skinner has been great for Swift Current. So, I mean, this is not a one-dimensional team. Skinner is back there for them if necessary.
Yeah.
And you certainly have to respect those guys up front because they will torch you. But otherwise, I think Swift Current is a pretty nice outfit out there, and they're definitely fun to watch.
Like, were they even supposed to beat Lethbridge in the conference final?
Swift Current was, they were one of the best teams.
I think.
You know, like, Moose Jaw had more points than they did, and those two teams were in the same division.
Yeah.
So Swift Current was one of the best teams out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, when they were playing Everett, you look and it's like, well, they got Carter Hart, and they're a pretty good team themselves.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you could call Swift Current underdogs, but they weren't the top team. They were one of the top teams.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to the Acadie Bathurst Titan of the Quebec League. They've got, you know, obviously they got some guys that are, well, one guy that's up for this year's draft who will be, you know, right up there with Noah Dobson. They've got some pretty good talent as well.
Yeah, they do. And Noah Dobson, I feel like he's most likely going to be top 10 this year because he's got great mobility.
Yeah.
He's got great size. And really, I mean, you know, according to scouts I've talked to, he's just scratching the surface. Like, Noah Dobson's going to be even better next year, and he's already pretty good.
Right.
So that's great for them on the blue line. German Rubsoff, the Flyers pick, he's there. Came over in a trade midseason. Antoine Morin, the Anaheim Ducks pick, he's had a great season for them. Something I want to key in on for the Titan is their penalty killing, which has been lights out in the playoffs. 91%.
Wow.
91%. And
that really allows you to play a certain style, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, it really does. You
and
know?
Not only are they killing off the penalties, but they have been really good shorthanded.
Right.
In particular, a draft-eligible right-winger named Justin Ducharme, I believe he has 4 points shorthanded just in the postseason.
Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
So good for him. I'm not sure if he's a pick or not. I really haven't heard much about him, but he's having a great playoff run, so that might help him, you know, maybe a team takes a flyer in the final round, seeing what kind of potential he has. Jeffrey Truchon-Vieh, who was recently signed by the San Jose Sharks,
he's
another guy that's been doing good stuff on the penalty kill, and he's an absolute sniper.
Right.
So I expect we'll see him with the AHL's Barracuda next year, getting his first pro digs in. And then in net, Evan Fitzpatrick, again, another St. Louis Blues pick. He has been amazing for Acadie Bathurst. A player who early on in his junior team played for some pretty mediocre Sherbrooke teams. His stats weren't very good because of that, but he always had the size. And now we're seeing what he can do when he's got some semblance of order in front of him, and the returns have been amazing.
It's neat, you know, like when you see a team like that that can kill penalties that way, it really allows them to lean on teams, you mm-hmm. know, like and to establish themselves from a physical standpoint. Because if they do, you know, they know that if they do step over the boundaries of the rule book once in a while, they're pretty certain that it's not going to torch them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to be able to play, I think. And you know, with respect to, you talked to Noah Dobson. I mean, I get the sense in this draft, Ryan, that there's kind of some groupings here.
Totally.
You know, Rasmus Dahlin, first overall, first defenseman.
That's a tier.
Then you've got, yeah, that's a tier unto itself. Yeah. And then the next tier is Boqvist and Hughes.
Yeah.
You know, sort of in the 5-6, 4-5-6 area.
Yeah.
And then it looks to me like it's kind of another, the next group is, you know, Bouchard, Dobson, Smith. You
yeah.
know, that kind of thing. Bouchard being Evan Bouchard of the London Knights, and Smith being Ty Smith of the Spokane Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it looks like that's kind of, you know, it's a pretty top-heavy draft for defensemen, you know, because all those guys could really actually end up going in the top 10.
I think so, and I think, you know, if you go by best player available, if you go by that, they all deserve to be top 10.
Mm.
And because there's not a lot of locks for top-end centers in this draft,
right,
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of blue liners go early, because all these kids can move the puck to varying degrees.
Right.
Some of them are incredible at it. Some are pretty good at it and have other skills to go with it.
Right.
So these are the kind of defensemen you want in the NHL today, and there's a lot of them available. So for teams drafting in the top half of the first round, I think there's a lot of assets to be picked up.
Yeah, that's interesting what you were saying, because like with centers, right? Svechnikov, winger. Tkachuk, winger. Sedina, winger. Wahlstrom, winger.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get into the centers until we start getting to the Barrett Haytons and Joel Valeno's of the world.
Yeah, and again, you know, like maybe a Joe Valeno or a Barrett Hayton becomes the number one center eventually.
Yeah.
You know, Valeno, I've kind of been likening to Ryan Johansson. He's more of a playmaker than he is a shooter, and scouts would like to see him shoot more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got a pretty good resume himself. First Quebec League player ever to get exceptional status to join the league a year early. But, you know, he's still working on his game and getting better, so maybe he gets there. But it's not like in past years where it's like, yeah, Connor McDavid, we know what he's going to be.
Right.
Austin Matthews,
yeah.
We know what he's going to be.
It's
not that kind of scenario.
Right, exactly. Interesting. So now we move on to the hosts, the Regina Pats, who got in to the tournament because. I mean, had an up-and-down season, kind of really struggled at points, you know, went for it at the trade deadline, picking up some guys to try and bolster themselves for the Memorial Cup. I mean, I'm going to put it out there. I hope they don't win, because I think it's embarrassing when the host team that does nothing
right.
other than be the host team gets in and wins the thing. But, you know, they do have some talent on that team, don't they?
They do, and it's odd because, you know, when they got the Memorial Cup, I said to myself, okay, well, that's a good host.
Mm.
Regina's already really good.
Yep.
They'll be getting back key players like Sam Steele, the Anaheim Ducks first rounder. They got a pretty good foundation, so I like that choice. And then for whatever reason, it just never came together for them. And I think when you look at the roster now, there's a lot of NHL talent there. So, I mean, I mentioned Steele. Josh Maher is another Ducks prospect. And ironically, Anaheim is our team spotlight this week, so I won't talk too much about them now.
Right.
But Jake Lysishyan, I really like his two-way game. He's a Vegas pick. They brought in Libor Hayek, who, of course, is now property of the Rangers via the Ryan McDonough trade with Tampa Bay.
Right.
Cameron Hebig, who is a free agent signing of Edmonton. He's a bit older. They certainly have talent. Cale Fleury on the back end, Montreal pick. Lots of draft picks. Jesse Gabriel, another guy, sort of an agitator who's taken
right.
on more of a scoring role as he's grown in junior. But for whatever reason, they haven't come together. Now, here's what I'll say. When you've got that much time off, you can do a lot of bonding and you can work on a lot of stuff.
Yep.
So I can see Regina putting forth a pretty good effort here.
Oh, sure.
Now, again, I think, you know, their starting goaltender, Ryan Kubits, I think he's 5'11",
yeah.
Undrafted, he's older. That could be a problem when you get into if you had to play Swift Current again,
right.
for example,
right,
or if you had to go up against some of the shooters
yep.
that we're going to see in this tournament.
Yep.
I've seen it before in the Memorial Cup. It really dinged Guelph back when they lost to the Edmonton Oil Kings.
Right, right.
So I have reservations there. But otherwise, I mean, they have the pieces. It's just a matter of can they finally put it together, and will the rest – turn out to be a good thing or a bad thing.
Right, exactly.
Huge X factors all around.
Yeah, exactly. So now we've got opening ceremonies tonight. Is there a game today or on Thursday night? I'm not sure. I know Hamilton plays Regina in the first game. I'm not sure when it is. Anyways, watch out for it.
It's coming.
It's coming, and it'll be a lot of fun. Okay, so we'll just touch a little bit on the USHL final. We sort of talked about it a little bit last week, but it is right now between Fargo and Youngstown. It's 1-1, as it sits right now. So, fairly evenly matched at the moment. And what are you looking at? What are you looking for from that series, Ryan?
Well, I think it really comes down to whether or not Youngstown can keep Fargo in check, offensively. I know there's, some of the Phantoms are having really good playoffs offensively, but when I look at Jacob Schmidt-Svestrup, who's up for the draft this year, he's actually been passed over before, but he had a breakout season for Fargo, missed a lot of time due to injury, and he was also at the World Juniors for Denmark. Youngstown is a very good goaltender, and Ivan Prosvetov, he might get drafted this year. He's been passed over before, but he's having a really good season.
Okay.
And then they also have Curtis Hall, who's up for the draft, big body, two-way center. Youngstown, they've got some older guys that can score. I think Fargo with Schmidt, Svestrup, and then they also have Robbie Stucker, who's already been drafted by the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's a defenseman. He can put some points on the board too. So there's some nice players on both sides, and I think they're pretty evenly matched. It's just going to be fun to see because neither team has ever won the Clark Cup. So we'll have a first-time winner, and yeah, that's always cool.
Yeah, that's great. Good stuff. Okay, so let's move on now to the interview portion of our program here. Ryan, you caught up with Kevin Mandelazy of the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles. Great name.
Yep.
You caught up with them actually before the under-18s.
Yep.
While they were having their training camp here in Toronto, and we all know what happened in the under-18s. Canada didn't exactly perform up to expectation, we'll say.
Yep.
But here it is, Ryan's interview with Kevin Mandelazy.
I'm here with Kevin Mandelazy from the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles. And Kevin, you're part of Team Canada's under-18 squad heading to Russia. To begin with, how does it feel to be along with all these fellow Canadian prospects of yours from all different leagues?
Well, it's for sure fun. Every time you get a name on a national team, it's always a privilege. But it's always fun to see like the same players at your age, same level, the best of the best, and it's always fun to see guys from all around Canada.
As a goaltender, do you look at some of the guys from the Quebec League and say, like, oh, I'm kind of glad that you're not shooting on me anymore?
Yeah, well, for sure. It's like there's good players in the Quebec League, and like Lafreniere here, he's 16 and put up a decent amount of points for his rookie season, so I'm kind of glad that we're on the same team now, so that's a plus. But it's always fun to get players back on the same side of like you, so it's, yeah.
Now, as a goaltender, how has Hockey Canada helped your development? Because, I mean, with goalies, it does take a lot of extra work and different work from other skaters.
Well, for sure, goalies always takes more time to develop. That's why now you see only goalies in the NHL coming at 24, 25. But it always takes a little bit more time. But Hockey Canada helped me a lot. For just small details that brought my game to another level, and it helps me a lot during the season and brings a lot of consistency to my game.
And playing in Cape Breton, a pretty good year for the Screaming Eagles, made the playoffs. How did you feel about that group coming together?
Well, for sure, we're a young team. We have a lot of good young players, so the future is bright for us, and it's going to be fun for the next couple of years.
One draft pick for 2018, a teammate of yours, Igor Sokolov, came over from Russia. What did he bring to the Screaming Eagles this year?
Well, he's a big boy. He's 6'3", 220. He has good hands, good shot, good IQ. When his skating is going to come along, he's going to be a dangerous player. And I talked to Igor, and he's going to work on that. And he's going to work hard this summer to come back in top shape for this season. He's actually coming over in Montreal to work out, so that's going to be a good for him, and it's gonna be good for our team also.
Now you're originally from Blainville. What was it like going from Quebec to Cape Breton over in the Maritimes?
Well, it was for the language, or like talking English. I was bilingual before going there, so it wasn't that much of a problem. But I'm from Blainville, so it's a little bit bigger than Sydney, Cape Breton, so that was quite a difference that going from Blainville to Sydney. But the people there are awesome, the fans are awesome, organization's awesome, so I was happy going over there.
And when it comes to your game on the ice, what do you think you do best as a netminder?
Well, I'm a calm goalie, I'm poised, so I think I'm... it's hard to beat me because I'm a big... I have a big body, so... I think it's my positioning's pretty good and my tracking's coming along, so that's hard. It's going to be hard to beat me on clean shots.
And what do you want to work on over the summer heading into next season to be better as a goaltender?
Well, for sure, you want to always be stronger, especially for goalie legs and hips and core are really something that goalies need to put emphasis on. So that's for sure something I want to do and get stronger over the summer.
And finally, when you look at NHL netminders right now, who are some that you'd like to emulate when it comes to your game?
Well, for sure, I think the goalie that I compare myself to is Frederik Andersen. I think we were calm, we're both poised. When Andersen's he's gonna barely get, not often he's gonna get beat on clean shots, and that's pretty much the same for me. So I think we're both alike. So
thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Ryan. And every week we highlight a draft eligible player. The draft is coming up, isn't it, Ryan? We got what are we at? 5 weeks.
Yep.
5 weeks before the draft in Dallas. As Chris Pronger told me, he said it should be, fairly comfortably warm there. So we've got 5 weeks to sort everything out, and still a lot to happen before then, obviously. But one of the players who likely will go on day two, probably not on day one, but likely on day two, is Liam Foudy of the London Knights. We have established that it is indeed Foudy and not Foudy. Ryan, we talk about prospects and you talk about bloodlines, right? Mm-hmm. We always talk about bloodlines, right?
Yeah.
And usually those bloodlines go back to hockey, mm-hmm. right? But for Foudy, it's a little different. He does have athletic bloodlines, but it's a different sport.
Yeah, both his parents were track and field stars, and his dad went on to play in the CFL as well. And Foudy was actually a hurdler himself in high school before he committed all the way to hockey.
Cool.
So you're getting an athlete, obviously.
Right.
And I think we're seeing a lot more of that these days. We've talked a lot, at the Hockey News about the importance of playing more than one sport.
Absolutely.
When you're growing up. It's
Absolutely.
So key.
Yep.
Just for your fitness, really, because hockey is such an unnatural sport in terms of your movements that it
yep.
really behooves you to play other sports. And you look at some of the top players in the game, they all did it. Steven Stamkos played baseball in the summer.
John Tavares lacrosse.
Austin Matthews grew up playing baseball, so did Cam Fowler. You can just go down the line.
Sure, sure.
And, it's a key thing. So it's good for Foudy that he has that upbringing. And obviously skating is a big thing with him.
He's fleet of foot on – in spikes and blades, I guess, right?
Exactly. Yeah. He knows how to get from point A to point B. And I think the intriguing thing about Foodie is his upside right now, because when I was talking to scouts, they all said the same thing, that he basically had two seasons. The first half, when London still had its full complement of NHL prospects, and then the second half, when the Knights decided they were going to be sellers this year, which never happens these days because usually they're in the top. But I think they saw the Sioux Greyhounds and were like, yeah, we'll take a pass.
Yeah, I don't think we're winning this
year. We're going to restock a little bit. Yeah. So Max Jones gets traded. Cliff Pooh gets traded. Robert Thomas gets traded.
Correct, yeah.
All of a sudden, Liam Foodie's ice time and responsibility goes way up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's putting up a bunch of points. So I think we're seeing a player on the ascent here who will have an even bigger role in the Knights next season. And, you know, London's going to be good again. They always get their import picks, pretty much, except this year because Boqvist accidentally made the New Jersey Devils. But, you know, what are you going to do? Or, sorry, Bratt. It was Jesper Bratt.
Yeah. Boqvist is up for the draft. Yeah. I don't think he's going to London.
No, I was thinking his brother, Jesper. Jesper Bratt actually made the Devils, and then he couldn't play for London. Yeah, you know, London's always good about getting those kids in, and then, you know, they had a very nice draft, including Antonio Strangis, who's from the States and committed to the Knights, could have gone NTDP. So, I mean, Foodie's going to have some great players around him. He'll have a bigger role, and I think that it's the type of player that you're going to see probably early in the second round because of that potential and because of the program he's playing in, where you know he's going to get good coaching, you know he's going to get playoff experience, and he's going to be around
for the World Juniors or has a good shot at playing.
I would say so,
You know, too, Ryan, I mean, you know, if you've been watching these playoffs, if you've been watching the Vegas Golden Knights and the success they've had in these playoffs, you know that the game is trending towards speed, and it has been for a long time. I mean, we're not, you know, we're not telling you anything you don't know here.
Right.
the game is trending towards speed, and I look at, you know, this, if this guy's got the wheels, he's 6'1", 183. He's going to get bigger, stronger. Mm. You know, a guy like that, that big, that can move around, that could be a guy that ends up doing some damage, you know, at the NHL level.
Exactly. And I think, you know, this is kind of the thing that we used to say about size maybe 15 years ago, where it's like, well, you know, if the kid doesn't work out, at least he's big. He can be on the fourth line. Nowadays, it's like, well, the kid's really fast, so if he doesn't work out, at least he can be on the third or fourth line as an energy guy.
As a penalty killer.
He can be a penalty killer and give you, you know, secondary or tertiary offense. So it's kind of interesting how that conversation has changed.
It's interesting. You know, like I haven't seen a lot of this guy, but like I think the important thing is, and there's a lot of fast guys, and I've seen a lot of fast guys who create a lot of chances that they can't finish.
Mm.
And that's where the disconnect is, you know?
Right.
And so if he, you know, I mean, I see he didn't blow the doors off of anybody this year, but he had 24 goals.
Yeah, and a lot of those were in the second half.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he might have something to mold here.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, so we're down to our last 31st and last team.
That's right.
For this season.
Yes.
In terms of prospect examination, if you will.
There you go.
The Anaheim Ducks, who have some pretty decent prospects going in their system. They have you talked about Sam Steele. You know, they've got Max Jones, who you also talked about a little while ago, getting traded.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, they're sort of middle of the pack in terms of prospects, but their top end, I mean, is kind of interesting. I mean, I think Troy Terry's a really intriguing guy.
Definitely.
He's one of those guys, I think, that might end up being a better pro than as a younger player, you know? Like, and then everybody goes, oh, wow, why'd that guy get picked in the fourth round, you know?
Yeah, really.
So anyways, but let's just go over, first of all, give us an overview of Anaheim's situation.
Yeah, so we had them ranked 20th in Future Watch, and I think the thing to remember is that the Anaheim Ducks already have a full complement of NHLers. I mean, the Ryan Getzlaf, Corey Perry era, we see the window closing. I mean, right. Same with Ryan Kesler. But they do have Ricard Raquel. They do have a pretty nice defense core that it's not as deep as it once was. You know, they lost Shea Theodore. They lost Sammy Vatanen in the Adam Henrique trade. But they still have Josh Manson. They have Cam Fowler. They still have Hampus Lindholm. So for me, when I look at a team like Anaheim, you know, you're plugging in holes, and you want to keep the pipeline going. And I think Troy Terry is an excellent example of a player that we've already seen can rise to the highest of occasions.
Yeah.
We all remember what he did in the shootout, the World Juniors. And, you know, he's a national champion with the Denver Pioneers. This is a kid that, yeah, he came in unheralded as a draft pick. He was with the NTDP, and sometimes kids can get lost. If you're not on the top line at the NTDP, you don't necessarily get the gaudy statistics, but you are still getting all the training. You are still playing all the top competition.
Right.
And I think Troy Terry is an excellent example of a guy that kept working on his game, worked on it when he was at Denver as well. He's a lot more of a complete player. We know he can score, and we know he's clutch. So that's the sort of player that I think can really help out a team. When I look at players that are close, playing down in San Diego in the AHL, you know, you got Marcus Patterson, the big defenseman there. He can be more of a shutdown guy for you, 6'4".
Right. Right.
Jacob Larson, another Swede who spent some time in San Diego this year. You know, this is a guy that's come along kind of slowly, but, you know, he's a good skater. And just as we were saying, you know, like if you can skate, particularly on the blue line, that's just such an asset right now. So when I look at those guys, I see, you know, players that in the next year or two, you start to plug in a little more at the NHL level, see what they can do, get their comfort level there. Andy Walensky is another puck mover that's kind of interesting. He got in some games with Anaheim this year, so good experience for him.
Yeah, he was that guy I'd never heard of.
Right.
I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Former Minnesota Duluth Bulldog, okay, doing big things.
Yeah.
And then the last San Diego goal I will mention is Kevin Waugh, who was an absolute sniper back in his USHL and college days. And still needs to get a bit bigger and stronger. I mean, that was always the knock on him, was his frame. But, I mean, he's got hands. And he's already made his NHL debut.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there's,
and he did well. Like,
yeah.
He did what you would expect he will do at the NHL level, and that's score goals.
Exactly. So, you know, there's guys on the cusp. With Max Jones, he finished the season with OHL Kingston. The Frontenacs actually won some playoff games, which traditionally they don't do.
Yep. It's a place where prospects have gone to die in a lot of cases.
Yeah, but historically.
That's changing.
Yeah.
It's definitely changing.
Yeah. I'm always expecting a little bit more from Max Jones. I mean, 6'3", 210 pounds.
Yep.
Obviously has great power forward potential. I'm really looking forward to what he can do at the pro level, because with players like him where – you know, they tend to play on the line with their physicality, sometimes over it. Junior's not always the best place for them. And, you know, one player that comes to mind is Darnell Nurse, who is turning into a very good defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers. And, I mean, he was good in junior, but you could always tell that because of his size, you almost get punished for it sometimes, because every hit you make, even if it's clean, could hurt a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So with Max Jones, I'm not saying that there weren't hits that he should have been suspended for, but I think that playing against men will be a good challenge for him, and I think it might actually even out his game, because he can figure out where he actually fits.
Well, and they're a lot less tolerant of stuff in junior hockey than they are when you get a little higher. And you're right. I mean, when he's hitting bigger players, he's not hurting them like he is when he is in junior.
Mm.
Are we looking at, you know, I mean, probably not in terms of the ability to score, but are we looking at, possibly another Corey Perry type of guy here?
I think he's... I don't know if he has the sniping ability.
I think so. Like a poor man's Corey Perry?
Yeah, kind of like a... More like a Todd Bertuzzi, I would say. Okay. Yeah, like that kind of traditional power forward.
Right, right.
I think at this point we have to say he's probably a second liner at best. I would say that's his upside right now. If he can continue to put in the work and, you know, if he can really put points on the board at the pro level, then obviously, you know, you reevaluate. But right now I would say, like, the ceiling is a second liner.
Okay. So we've talked about a little bit about Sam Steele, who's in the Memorial Cup. Is there anybody? I mean, we haven't talked about Jack Kopacka, who's got it, if nothing else.
Jack Kopacka.
Great name.
I love it. I mentioned this on Twitter the other day when I was at the Sioux Greyhounds game. Jack Kopacka is just super fun to say. Kid's got a great shot. Yeah. He can really put the puck in the net. Right now, it's a matter of consistency for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, work in progress. You know, there's no
rush. He'll be playing pro next year, too.
He'll be playing pro next year. He's got good size, 6'2", 200 pounds. So for him, it's a process, but I think he's got some good potential there. I'll also mention a couple more junior players before we're finished.
Yeah.
I mentioned Antoine Morand a little bit. You know, in his draft year, I had him described to me as kind of a smaller Tyson Jost, in terms of just his two-way game and just like a really good character guy with skill. Maxime Comtois, I think he'll be a very useful player for the Ducks once he makes that team, because he is an excellent penalty killer. Great size. Thought he showed off some nice skill at the World Juniors, but you know, we talked about Akadee Bathurst being great shorthanded. Maxime Comtois is an absolute demon when he's shorthanded. He's so good at anticipating passes and breaking them up and getting breakaways and finishing them. So I think, you know, even if he doesn't turn out to be a top six guy, because he's not the fastest guy in the world necessarily,
right.
But I think he could be very valuable in a third or fourth line role at worst, because he's such a good penalty killer.
Interesting.
And then just to finish up, Josh Mahura, you know, a defenseman with Regina, just a really good puck moving defenseman. A lot of good experience for him. Had some injury issues early in his career with Red Deer, but he's one to watch because he's got all those elements you want. And then, of course, just to circle back to Sam Steele, I feel like the Memorial Cup needs to be big for him. I expected more points from him this season, but you know, I mean, he's a great two way guy. Like, I think his two way game is growing a lot, and you know, he wears the C with Regina, so there's a lot of responsibility for him. Kind of a mid-sized guy, but you know, I think again the pro ranks are going to be really good for him, and you know, with the right development, again, he could be a pretty nice piece for the future Anaheim Ducks.
That's interesting. You know, Ryan, I'm looking at some of these guys, and they've got some big guys, some big like physically big prospects, and you know, you look at Anaheim, and that, you know, there's definitely a pattern there with respect to that, especially at the forward level, at the forward ranks. And I mean, it's been both a blessing and a curse, I think, for them a little bit. You know, they've had a lot of success with it, but I think, you know, that success has been limited the last couple of years, partly because of it. So I wonder, you know, if they're going, if they continue to go in a way that the game is not going, if that will help or hurt them all down the road.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, you know, it's a copycat league, and right now everybody's chasing Vegas. So it'll be fun to see. Literally and figuratively. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting draft for Anaheim, I'll say that.
Interesting. Okay, well, thanks, Ryan. And that'll do it for another week. We'll be back, as always, next week with more talk of prospects. We will not have a team examination, because we're done that, but
right.
I'm sure our guy, Ryan Kennedy's got something exciting up his sleeve for that portion of the program. So you'll just have to wait and see what it is, because I don't even know what it is right now. Anyways, great talking to you, and we'll talk to you next week.